darkness tries to roll over my bones.
Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number 3 on how to become an actual NBL participant. Support our advertisers.
When brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
So let's get to it, and thanks for joining us all across upstate New York, Buffalo, Rochester, northwestern Pennsylvania, Erie, and all of Southern Ontario, Niagara Falls, Toronto, and beyond. Good to have you along. And grateful that you could tune in for a conversation with Lisa Turkhurst about one of her newer books called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. Some of you heard her on Focus on the Family. We have the privilege of talking with her today about her incredible journey. And Lisa, first of all, let me just say welcome. It's a joy to have you here, and so many people in our audience, thousands, have read your books and been blessed by you and your ministry, and just grateful you took time for us today.
Well, thank you. It's such an honor to be with you, honestly.
Well, we obviously feel the same. Time's about 10, but anyway, this is going to be an interesting conversation. And if you don't mind, let me just set the stage for a second. I mentioned, obviously, that you're president of a major ministry called Proverbs 31 Ministries. You're a best-selling author, and a lot of times I think we tend to think of people who are speaking from the platform and who have been given a major platform, you know, via social media or best-selling books and stuff, that everything must be perfect in their world. And you obviously are a wonderful sister in Christ and have been blessed by God in so many different ways. Last night I was at a small group Bible study, and we were just kind of talking about the reality that, you know, all of us are broken. And your name didn't come up in that context, just so you know. But, you know, we were just talking about the fact that it's amazing because here we are, like, tomorrow's Good Friday. As believers, the thing that unites us to God is that we have been recipients of His grace. And what qualified us for His grace was our own brokenness. And I'm particularly referring to personal sin, of course. But the reality is we live in a broken world. And stuff happens around us that is unexpected and unplanned, and it's painful and it's difficult, but this is the world we live in. And I think sometimes maybe we want to take, like, the best-selling authors and the past, you know, the televangelists and the pastors, and put them on a pedestal and say, well, they must live in an insulated world where they never experience pain or suffering. But the reality is it's unfair to do that, and it's not true. And you've had your fair share, which I'm sure we can get to at some point, but I just want to say thank you for your ministry all along, but you need to know you're in safe territory here, and we care about you, and we care about what God is saying to you, and we want to learn through it. So we're all ears, and we're asking the Holy Spirit to really illuminate our hearts and minds to help us learn from some of what you've had to go through. But with all that said, welcome, and give us a little bit of background here on what prompted the book, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way.
Well, first of all, thank you for all your kind words that you said. That really blesses me deeply. And, you know, in the past couple of years, I definitely have walked that common human road of brokenness, just like you and your small group were talking about. You know, it's something that if you're going to be human, you are set up to experience brokenness at some point in your life. And so that kind of leads me to the whole point of this message, is that I was struggling with my faith and my feelings coming in conflict, because what is amazing about the God that we serve is that, you know, when Jesus was put on the cross and suffered and died, He did rise again. And that's amazing. We serve a living, breathing Savior. We serve a God with good plans, even on the other side of extreme heartbreak. We know all of that, right? And we know that our God is big and mighty and capable. He is a miracle-working God. And so because we know all of that and we believe on it, and our faith, the essence of our faith, stands in that place of our miraculous God, when we go through hard things and we ask God to help us, we want God to work not just good, but we want immediate good. We want a miracle. Mm-hmm. So when something bad starts to happen, we immediately want God to fix it, change it, rearrange it. And when it's not immediate, our faith and our feelings start to come in conflict, and it can rattle the very core of what we believe. And so never have I understood that more than in the past 3 years, where I was in the process of just trying to figure out when a lot of hard things happen, and they happen all at once, and I was begging God to change them, rearrange them, fix them, don't let this be my story. And yet, instead of God fixing things, it seemed like he allowed more hard things. And certainly God didn't cause those hard things, but he was allowing them. And it was just devastating at times. And I think part of the issue is that we know God can work good from hard things that happen. The problem with me, I don't want to put this on anybody else, mm-hmm. but maybe you can relate. The problem with me is I like to run ahead of God and write the script of good that he should surely follow.
Oh, sure.
But when God doesn't follow my expected script or in my timing, and I try to hold God accountable to something that was a solution of my own making, that's where things start to get messy for me, and that's where my doubts start to creep in. And I've certainly lived that. And so this is not a message I ever wanted to write, because it's not a message I ever wanted to live. But when I did live this message, I felt compelled to write about it in real time, because I knew I was not the only one dealing with life devastations, and I wanted to give other people just an inside glimpse at how to process these kinds of things biblically.
I'm going to guess that you've had a tremendous outpouring from people who've read the book, and a very positive response, because I think people are desperate for hope in the midst of difficult situations. And to know that you've been so raw and vulnerable to talk about some of what you've gone through over the past 3 years and all of that, that you've been, you know, warmly received in that sense. But I want to ask you a question about another group of individuals, and those are the ones who are more inclined to get angry with God and say, how can you allow, you know, I'm crying out to you for these things to go away, and I'm getting even more difficult, you know, circumstances headed into my life. And if you were a good God, you'd hear my prayers. You'd just change this. But apparently you don't care about what I'm going through. In other words, somebody who hardens themselves to what's happening in their life, because it's not like you probably, I guarantee you're human, so you've probably had your own doubts and frustration and maybe even anger towards God during any given moment of time. But by and large, it sounds like you're open to what God is doing, trying to be open to hear from him, to understand what's happening when difficulties come. And so there's that sense of openness. But what do you say to the person who's hardened? Because surely there's some of those folks listening right now as well.
Well, first of all, I would just tenderly say, I get it. I understand. You know, it's hard when you go through some of the devastations that lead people to a heart that, and when we say a heart that's hard, you know, really it can start to feel like either a heart that's gone numb or a heart that has so many protective walls around it that you can hardly get to the person anymore. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say I understand. You know, part of what I've walked through, for those listening that don't know some of the circumstances that we've mentioned the hardship around, but one of those, probably the most devastating event of my whole life, was when I found out my husband of over 2 decades, the father of my children, my best friend, life partner, he was being unfaithful. And, you know, when you feel like as a Christian that you've checked all the boxes of doing the right things that should equal a good, safe, secure marriage. And then when 1 + 2 does not equal 3, it's very rattling. And so I'm not saying that Art and I had a perfect marriage by any stretch of imagination, but I am saying we did what all the experts say you should do to have a good marriage. And then things suddenly took a dramatic turn, and there were lots of things that played into what happened with Art's story. And I pray one day that he'll be able to come on here and share his story, because I think it would be really fascinating for people to hear what got him to the place where the unthinkable happened. But I won't share his story. I'll share my part of the story, and that is, regardless of why it happened, it did happen. And I know at different parts of the journey, our journey was not quick and tidy. So it wasn't like I discovered Art was being unfaithful, and then all of a sudden there was immediate repentance, and then there was, you know, counseling, and then restoration, and then, yay, everybody's singing Kumbaya, jumping up and down.
Yeah.
That might be some people's story, but that was not my story. So we were separated for over 2.5 years, and we didn't live in the same house for 2.5 years. And that was really, really hard, and there were reasons for that, because there weren't straight lines in our journey of this hardship to reconciliation. And there were long stretches. I would say there were very long stretches where I had to say to Art, I can love you and I can forgive you, but I will not share you. And so when you're in that kind of a situation, it feels hopeless, because reconciliation is dependent on two people. You know, I couldn't work hard enough to get my marriage back together. We both had to do the hard work and be willing. And there were parts of the journey where Art was willing, there was parts that he was not willing. And so I will say, some of those moments at 2:30 a.m. where I wake up and I'm afraid, I'm in my house alone, I reach over to where for over 2 decades Art had been right there beside me, and he's not there, and I have to wake up to the reality that I'm living, and all those devastating, heart-crushing feelings come rushing at you at 2:30 in the morning. And I would cry out to God and just say, God, please fix this. Please work a miracle. Bring my husband home. And I made so many solutions to God of what he could surely do to fix this. And, you know, that's where the disillusionment can start to happen. And I can say now, on the other side of this very long journey, that I look back and I realize what my desire was behavior modification in Art. But God allowed this to play out in a much longer way, because he wasn't just trying to change Art's behavior. Really, God was after Art's very soul. And so the timing of it was long, and it was hard. And I understand why people get to a place where they're heart gets so disillusioned, because they know God could fix something, and when he doesn't, it feels shattering to you. So I get it. That's what I would say to someone. I understand. But then I would also say, but just consider a few things from my story. And that's the beauty of having a story that you can tell people about the messier sides of your own life. Perfection intimidates people, but compassion inspires them. And what attracts people to this story is that there's hope contained even in the heartbreak.
You know, I was watching the YouTube version of your conversation with Jim Daly and the guys on Focus on the Family, you know, and it's just such a heartwarming story, and in the way you told it. In the sense, not that the story itself was hard to listen to because of the reality of what you were describing, but heartwarming to know that you were sensing God's peace in the, you know, today in the midst of what you've been through, that you can say that, you know, you were not abandoned by God and provide us with some hope and all that. But at some point during it, you kind of got choked up, and you said, you know, the truth is, I didn't even want to come here today. I didn't want to do this interview today. I don't want to be sitting in this chair. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but, you know, I don't want to have to tell this story. And appropriately, your book is called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. I guess the point is none of us sign up for this kind of stuff, and yet it happens. And I wonder if you could describe, you know, as the president of Proverbs 31 Ministries and a best-selling author who speaks at conferences and talks about the joy of what it means to be a Christian and the victory that we can have in Christ, to know that you were going through such devastating circumstances and not wanting it to happen. It's so human of you. By the way, thank you for being so honest. Praise God for your honesty. I think there's a lot of people are going to find hope and freedom just in that alone. But can you describe, you know, what you were feeling through this process? Because you obviously did not sign up for this.
Right, for sure. And, you know, I mean, if I'm very honest, if God had a sign-up sheet today, I would not sign up for this all over again.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, I think the hard reality for me was I recognized that because I was a visible person in ministry, that the decisions I made would affect not just me and my kids, but would impact people that were leaning in watching, you know, what I did. So there, it's hard. It's hard to invite an audience into such private pain. And it's also hard to invite public opinion into such private pain. So, you know, the fact that my family and I live a more visible life was devastating. But and honestly, there were moments in the journey where I thought, God, this is the coolest thing ever. You knew this was going to happen, and yet for over 20 years, you allowed me to pursue being in ministry. You know, Proverbs 31 Ministries, there's a certain implied nature there that, you know, you are a wife of noble character, that you are a woman of, you know, of godly maturity, I guess you could say. And so there was a certain implication just with even the very title of my ministry that I really sat before the Lord and just felt like, how could you have allowed me to be at this place where the ministry has grown so much, and now at this point I'm experiencing this devastation? And as many people, you know, so many people were quick to say to me, you know, Lisa, Art's choices are his own. And that is true. I recognize that. But when you're talking about a marriage, you know, there it's a oneness there that made me feel very, very vulnerable in front of a lot of people. And so I really had to sit with the Lord about that. And do I quit Proverbs 31? Do I shrink back and go become a waitress in Montana? Trust me, there was a long season where I just dreamed of escaping. And why I wanted to become a waitress in Montana, I have no idea. But that's just what
it just
I kept
sounded
saying.
Good. Yeah.
It sounded good. And so one day, as I was praying through this and really crying through it, wrestling through it, all of a sudden, a brand new thought popped into my head, and it was something that changed me. It was like, instead of feeling like, man, I've done this ministry, and now because I became, you know, so effective in ministry, there was a target placed on my back, and so the enemy attacked me because of being in ministry. But there was this new thought that popped in my head, and I really feel like it was from the Lord. And it was the Lord's like, this didn't happen because you were in ministry. I saw that this would happen, so I placed you in ministry all those years ago. You've been spending over two decades studying what to do when life falls apart and how to depend on God. You've been teaching this, Lisa. I made sure that you were knee-deep in all these lessons before you had to walk through this. And suddenly, I just started praising God that, you know, that was right. I mean, what a gift he's given me that my career was studying the Bible and helping navigate hard realities in the midst of biblical truth, and that I was so well prepared biblically for this, and I didn't even realize it for so long. And so then I felt very, very responsible to rise up and to say, I don't know what's going to happen to my marriage. But isn't that where so many women live that are walking through this, and so many men whose wives have left them? This is where they are. They wake up today and they don't know what to do. And if they can't figure it out, then I have a responsibility to share what I am slowly figuring out. And by golly, I'm going to do it. I'm going to walk right to this messy middle place, and I'm going to let the world watch, because I felt so responsible to do that. And so I was very honest throughout my journey. I was very honest throughout the writing of the book. You know, when I started writing It's Not Supposed to Be This Way, I had no idea where Art and I would end by the last chapter of that book. And through most of the writing of the book, I did not feel like reconciliation would be possible. So I wrote it from that honest, messy, gritty place of, this is what it looks like to be absolutely human, stripped of all those accolades, stripped of all the things that we love to prop our identity up, and just simply be stripped down to the place where I'm a child of God dealing with some really, really hard stuff. Now what do I do? And I wanted to give my reader the gift of showing them how to navigate the messy middle.
Well, thank you for doing that and being obedient to follow what you believe God is showing you to do. And I just think it's going to have, and it has had, such a powerful impact in the lives of so many people, and yet at your expense. So please know that nothing I'm saying there has any indication that I'm happy you had to go through that, or that any of us are happy that you've had to struggle. But just, you know, it's how you're choosing to respond to the situation that has occurred. You didn't sign up for it, but you're choosing to trust the Lord and to see what He wants to do through it. And I'm just praising Him for that reality. So we're going to break here, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. Lisa Turkhurst is a best-selling author. She is the founder and president of Proverbs 31 Ministries. Many of you have read her books. You've heard her speak at conferences. You've seen YouTube videos and read her blog and all of that. By the way, if you want a spelling of her name, you can find it on our Facebook page at WDCX Radio. There's a post there. L-Y-S-A, that's Lisa, L-Y-S-A, T-E-R-K-E-U-R, S-T. That's a mouthful, but the spelling is there, and we'll repeat it several times. But lisaturkhurst.com is where you can go to find out a lot more about her life and her ministry. But we're going to keep digging in here and talk about It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. Here's the thing. You or someone you love has faced an incredible turn of events in their lives at some point, or you're currently going through that now. It's what life is made of. Stuff happens that we don't expect. And in the midst of that pain and disappointment, where do we go? When you feel shattered, who do you turn to? And how do you make sense of anything that's going on? Well, Lisa's walking that journey right now, and God has taught her a lot. There's way more to come, and we'll continue our conversation. But if you want to join us at any point, pick up the phone and jump on board. It's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And yes, we will be giving away a copy of the book to one of you who participates. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number two on how to become an actual NBL participant. Tell your friends to listen.
Lisa Turkhurst, best-selling author, founder of Proverbs 31 Ministries, our guest here on NBL, and you can join us at 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Brand new book called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. And Lisa, a couple things here real quick, and definitely want to continue talking about your story and the content of the book and all of that, but this really is designed to be a resource for others, right? Not just a book like about your story, but designed to help others through their story. And maybe you can describe even like how it's written, because it seems in some ways like a bit of a study guide as much as just a book to sit down and read.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to write a memoir that just told people our story, because I really wanted anyone who picked up this book to really understand from a biblical standpoint, what do I do when life falls apart? And what are Bible verses that are really helpful? What are some principles that the Bible teaches that I might not find on my own. And so I wanted the Bible teaching to lead the way, not in an academic sense, but in a real life, everyday sense. Like, here's a book you can open up and immediately feel like you've got a friend who understands the depth of emotion that sometimes, most times, accompanies really life, hard life events. And then what is some wisdom that you can lean on that goes beyond yourself? And so, you know, what's interesting is a lot of people have read this book that have the same circumstances as me. Both men and women have reached out to me. I mean, really flooded my inbox and my social media comments with the fact that they are walking through a marriage devastation. And boy, do I understand how hard that is. Mm-hmm. But then the teaching that I give, and it's not supposed to be this way, translates to really any hard life event. I mean, I've had people that have lost children that have reached out to me, and people that have been through, you know, really devastating financial events. And it's really anything in your life where you assumed it would be this, and suddenly it's not. And I think the beauty of this book is it doesn't give a telling of my victory. It really walks people through the process of what to do on those days where you think, I'm not going to be able to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And so I'm thankful that even if someone's circumstances are different because the emotion is the same, mm-hmm. the advice translates.
I'm going to get some calls in a second, but I just want to ask real quick. You mentioned that the majority of this kind of went down 3 years ago. By the way, I would guess that throughout your entire life, you could do without the year 2016, right? Probably just wipe that one off the map and pretend that never happened. But but you mentioned that you were separated for 2.5 years. So here we are, maybe a little over 3 years removed from the initial discovery of what was going on in your life and your marriage. And I'm wondering if you feel like the season that you've been through, the season of pain, if it's over or if the story's still being written. Not so much in terms of you know, what your husband's up to, but I mean in terms of what God is doing in your life and in your marriage.
Yeah, well, you know, the point of it's not supposed to be this way is really reconciliation with God and redemption with God, even in the midst of life not looking the way that you thought it would. And the beautiful thing is redemption with God is possible even when reconciliation with other people is not. And so the goal of the book was redemption with God, and I wanted to make sure that my faith stayed strong throughout the process of even in those moments where life felt like it was falling apart. But a kind of surprising twist, even surprising to me, is toward the end of my writing of the book, Art started to get healthier than I've ever seen him, and for a long enough period of time. You know, trust is a tricky thing. It's very, very hard to rebuild after it's been broken. And ours wasn't just broken, it was shattered, and not just one time, but many times. So it was complicated on a lot of different levels. But trust is built time plus believable behavior. So I had to let time pass, and as time passed and I saw enough believable behavior, then I felt like we could come back together again. I was hesitant. I was afraid. I wanted coming back together to be absolutely girded with guarantees, and that's not really possible. You know, there weren't any guarantees. It's just I had some wise counselors helping me, some wise pastors helping me, and as we saw believable behavior and enough time passed, then trust started to get rekindled. And then, of course, I had to walk through the process of forgiveness. And forgiveness is also tricky, just like trust. You know, forgiveness is both a one-time decision. It's a marked moment where I made the decision mm-hmm. to forgive Art for what happened. But forgiveness is also a process, because it's not just forgiving Art for the facts of what happened, but the process is that I get triggered now in ways that are a direct result of the betrayal that happened in our relationship. And so when those triggers happen, I relive the trauma of the reality that I know what betrayal is, and so I imagine it happening again, or I fear something that I see, or, you know, it could be a million different things.
Sure.
So then I have to forgive, not just for the facts of what happened, but I also have to forgive for the impact that this has had on me. I never have been a person that struggled with fear and anxiety before, but I do now. And so, you know, there's so much more to heal from than
sure.
just the betrayal. And so forgiveness is a long process. So where are we at now? On a beautiful Tuesday in December, an unusually warm Tuesday for Charlotte, North Carolina, which is where we live, Tuesday, December 11th, Art and I did renew our vows. And it was a beautiful ceremony, a ceremony full of lots of tears, and then lots of celebration, brokenness and beauty, all interwoven together. And we stood before our family and friends. We had about 70 people here at our house, and we renewed our vows, and that was amazing. And I'm so thankful for that. Art moved back in, and we are doing life together again. And I'm so grateful. We're both so grateful. I mean, Art would say the overwhelming emotion he feels every day is so grateful that we were able to come back together, and that's beautiful. But it's also hard. You know, there's still
sure.
healing that has to happen. It's just our counselors helped us realize that certain parts of the healing needed to happen separately, and then there came a point where it was time to heal together. And at that point, we renewed our vows and moved back in together. So it's this beautiful mix of beauty and brokenness that still needs to be healed, and we're still working. We work on it every single day. But the difference now is that we are able to talk so openly. I think we've had so much therapy that when people, you know, come around our dinner table with us and we're so honest about things, I think they're kind of shocked the way that we're able to talk so vulnerably and so honestly. But that's part of the beauty of therapy, I guess.
Yeah.
And Art and I also have a real deep sense that we want to help other people. Because, again, even though we have renewed our vows now, we are back together, we're still kind of in that messy middle,
mm-hmm.
you know? I
sure.
wouldn't say that we've arrived at this epic place of victory. We've experienced some victory, but we still have a ways to go.
Man, this is so good. And I'm going to get to some calls now. I just want to say one thing quickly. You know, you mentioned the word forgiveness, and just getting to that point was monumental. And that it's sort of an ongoing thing when you experience triggers and stuff, just remembering where you're at with all that. But forgiveness, redemption, and restoration. We talk a lot about Christ dying on the cross so we could be forgiven. But he also died on the cross so we could be redeemed, so that the plan and purpose for our life, you know, could come to fruition. Because the enemy wanted to destroy us, God has an entirely different plan. So redemption is part of the gospel. And then restoration, you know, the idea that we could have a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, and come to know the one that we had betrayed. It's such a beautiful picture of the gospel, and just your story is such a poignant reminder of what we have experienced. And I'm getting teary here thinking about tomorrow is Good Friday. Thank you, Jesus, that you made it possible for us to know you when we, in fact, were the betrayers, and that you've restored our lives. So what a beautiful picture. And although, again, we're pained to hear the kind of stuff that you've had to go through, it is a picture of what all of us have experienced in some sense in the betrayals of our own life, but also how all of us have betrayed our Heavenly Father. And there's something to be learned there for all of us. I want to get to Allison from St. Catharines. Allison, you're on with Lisa Turkhurst, and thank you for your phone call. What's up?
Hi.
Hi,
Lisa.
Hi.
It's so crazy how things work. I never have this time. I'm sitting, like, in front of the lake right now. I got out of class early today, and I came down to the lake, and I turned on the radio, and here I am just listening to your story. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Like, I feel like I'm almost listening to, like, my own story right now, just in a different way. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, thank you, Lord, for women that are just you know, transparent and being real and, you know, not trying to gloss over anything or, you know, just, you know, cover up things with religion and, you know, just put on a face or a mask and say, yeah, everything's good. Everything's under control. Like, I'm listening to you and your story and I'm just like, oh my gosh, there's other women out there that are being real and honest and open with their struggles. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like it's giving me hope. Like it's giving me like life to keep going through what I'm going through right now. And having walked out of a very dark place 3 years ago myself, you know, so I just wanted to say thank you.
Wow. Any response to Allison?
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you, Allison, for your call. And, you know, I have this picture that one day when I get to heaven and I'm having a conversation with Jesus, I don't think I'm going to ask him in that moment, why did you let me go through this and this and this? You know,
yeah.
I think it will be a celebration of Lord, thank you for allowing me to give hope to other people. And I wonder why you didn't entrust me with more. Because you see, I don't think the bad things that we walk through, I mean, God doesn't curse us with those. I think he entrusts us with those so that we can have an opportunity to grow closer to him, understand the different side of his faithfulness, and then proclaim that hope to the world.
Yeah, absolutely. No, for sure.
Allison, thank you for listening. Thanks for telling us where you're at today, because I've got a visual of you sitting there. You're probably looking at Lake Ontario you're describing, right? And
I am, yeah.
All right. And, man, what a joy to hear from you and to know that God is speaking directly to your heart through Lisa's story. So thank you. And we're going to put your name in a hat to win a free copy of the book. All of you who participate with any kind of a question or comment are going to be eligible. We'll be back with more. Best-selling author Lisa Turkhurst is our guest. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And Linda Patton, host of Today's Living Hope, it's actually going to be teaching a Bible study on this book beginning Tuesday. We'll have details on that a little bit later on. Let's get back to it. Best-selling author Lisa Turkhurst, our guest. Her book called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way, Finding Unexpected Strength When Disappointments Leave You Shattered. It's obviously available at, I'm guessing, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever Christian books are sold. Also, lisaturkhurst.com is a website you're going to want to check out. We've got info about Lisa on our WDCX Facebook page. You can go there, and maybe we'll post the link for the book itself there as well a little bit later. But Lisa, so appreciate you being here. Listen, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. If you want to join us, any question, any comment qualifies you to win a copy of the book, and we're going to draw a name from a hat a little bit later on. And based on the sensitive nature of what we're talking about here, if you want to use an alias, go for it. But if you just want to say, look, I want a copy of this book, me or somebody I know could use this book, feel free to get on board here and let's hear from you. So we'll get to your phone calls as we continue. Arnie from Toronto, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Those are the numbers to call. Arnie, you had a question for Lisa. Welcome to NBL.
Yes. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
Lisa. Yeah, I was just wondering, I've gone through a divorce myself a while back, and my wife cheated on me. In the process of going through all this, what did you have to learn and reflect on yourself as to, you know, sometimes we got to look in the mirror and get a good look at ourselves as to why maybe our spouse left us. And so did you go through that kind of an atmosphere where you had to sort of self-evaluate and sort of kind of go through, it's like a pity party, I guess, but why did they leave? What did I do? Did you go through that period?
Yes, of course, you know, and here's the interesting thing for me. I could not do that at first. It was just too painful. And so I had a really wise counselor that just helped me deal with the emotion. And he kept saying to me, you know, Lisa, Art having an affair is not your fault, because that's what made it so painful. I felt like I wanted to draw a straight line from something I had done or didn't do to the behavior that played out, you know, in the affair. And so my counselor kept saying, you know, this isn't your fault, and it has a lot less to do with you than you thought. And so at first, you know, that language really, really helped buffer my very, very shattered heart. But finally, I started asking my counselor, help me know what I need to know so that even if I never get back with Art, I've got to know, like, what are some things, what are some just propensities that I have that I need to deal with. And so my counselor and I, we called it, I need to work on my side of the street and Art needed to work on his side of the street. And so my counselor and I worked on some things. And one of the best activities that my counselor took me through is he had me draw on a piece of poster this big shape like an egg. And then I divided the egg up into like 30 different little components. And he had me draw out pictures of any trauma that I had experienced as a child and early adult. It was either, you know, it could have been sexual trauma, emotional trauma, whatever. But I filled up this poster with trauma. And then I stood in front of my counselor and told him the story of all these different traumatic events. And he helped me identify a pervasive thread, which was a lie that I believed about myself that definitely became a liability in my relationship. And there was a distinct common thread. There was a lie that emerged that I had to really work to untangle from my heart. And my particular lie was just that I considered that I needed to make sure to never, ever ask things from other people. It was better for me to do it myself. And almost like I can't trust someone else to do it the way I would do it, so it's better for me to do it myself, or I'm not safe, or I don't want to be a pain to someone else or an inconvenience to someone else. And that feeling of I don't want to be an inconvenience and I can't really trust other people became such a pervasive lie that I believe that became a liability that I needed to untangle from my heart.
That's huge. Arnie, appreciate your phone call. 800-684-2848, 883-5000. You know, when we're hurting, we just want the pain to end, and it's part of the reason they invented painkillers, or, you know, you go to the dentist and they give you Novocaine and that tooth that's been aching, finally the pain goes away before they fix it or pull it out, one or the other. But we seek comfort in the midst of trauma, and that's natural. It's a human thing to do. But I wonder if you could comment on the word comfort, because I'm sure at times you just wanted the pain to go away. But I guess where I'm going with the question, and it's not coming out exactly the way I had hoped, but, you know, there's an awful lot of people that might seek comfort before they seek God, and not realizing that comfort really is found in our relationship with God. And I wonder if you could comment, because there, you know, somebody might run to another relationship or a bottle or drugs or something, shopping, I don't know, to find comfort, to just make the pain go away. And I don't know if you felt tempted in those ways to just try to self-medicate somehow. I don't know. You'd be very human if you did, but
yeah, but
God had to be saying something to you about what he wanted to provide you with during that process. And I don't know if you can talk about it, but love to hear if you can.
Absolutely. Well, I think there's a reason that there's a very common statement, you know, it's numbing out, you know,
right.
And I mean, there are many things. I like to think of the enemy locates a pain point in our life and then handcrafts temptations that dangle in front of us that is like, here's the answer to numb your pain. The problem with that is if we constantly numb our pain, then we never deal with our pain. We never heal from our pain. But, of course, the enemy doesn't want us to deal with it, and he doesn't want us to heal from it. But God allows us to feel pain so that that pain forces us to deal with the pain, which then gets us to the place where we're willing to do what's necessary to heal from the pain. And God's purpose is healing, and the enemy's purpose is destroying. And so, you know, many of those things that we turn to numb ourselves, and trust me, numbing is very understandable, but if we use things that are destructive to numb ourselves, which a lot of us do, taken to an extreme can really create devastation upon devastation. So did I want to numb my pain? 100%. I mean, I definitely did, but I recognize that the feeling of the pain is what would help me turn to the Lord so that I could face the pain, I could deal with the pain, and I could start the process of healing the pain. Did I do it perfectly? No, I certainly didn't. Did I wish there was a magic pill I could take to make all the pain go away? 100%. Was walking through the pain excruciating at times? It really was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I do know that the healing that has come has been better, so much better than staying numb.
For others that are facing similar things, I'm going to ask you in a second to just speak to their hearts, you know, just to talk to the people that are sitting listening to this conversation and are in the midst of something. I mean, they might even be at work and not able to call in and talk about it, but I'm going to give you a chance to provide a word of encouragement. But just before that, I want to ask, when all this went down, when you realized what was really going on, between that point and your decision to start writing this book, did you kind of go off the grid, or were you forced to continue Proverbs 31 ministries and your responsibilities there in spite of the pain? Because that would have been horrible, right? To try to wear a mask? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. How do you wear a mask through something like this? What was your posture when all of this was going on?
Well, when I first found out in early 2016 what was happening, I wanted to keep this private, not secret, not to put on a mask. You know, people definitely knew I was going through something. Mm-hmm. I just called it my secret sorrow. And, you know, I was vulnerable in letting them know I'm walking through something really hard. I can't share the details of it. You see, there's a big difference between keeping something private and keeping something secret. Privacy is for the purpose of healing. Secrecy is for the purpose of hiding. And so I wasn't trying to hide. I was trying to heal. And so I kept the details of what we were walking through private for 18 months. But then it became very apparent at that point in the journey, 18 months in, that it was no longer going to be possible to keep things private because things were leaking out. And I realized I could either let the rumor mills tell the story or I could get ahead of it and tell people what was happening.
Right.
It was also at that point that Art had gone back to the other woman, and I felt like our marriage was over and there was really, at that point, nothing else that I could do. So I posted a blog in June of 2017 to let people know that unfortunately I was probably headed toward divorce, not by my choice, but by the reality of the circumstances. And I was devastated. I reminded people I am a big proponent of marriage. This, you know, I have fought and fought and fought until now I've just reached this place where I've done all I can do. And I asked people to pray. And you know, the miraculous thing is a lot of people did pray, and I think I'm living the result of a lot of that prayer today. But from that point on, in June of 2017, when I posted the blog, I took a sabbatical. I had to, because I was just so devastated by the things that I had been through. And but God even had a plan in that. You know, because I was taking a sabbatical, I wound up going to a lot of medical appointments and kind of getting caught up on, you know, some checkups that I needed to do. And I went and got a mammogram, even though it wasn't really time for me to have a mammogram. I just wanted to go ahead and get it over with so I could get ahead of those things. And when I got the mammogram in the summer of 2017, that's when I found out I had breast cancer. And, you know, I was taking a sabbatical anyways, and so it allowed me time to do what I needed to do to not only emotionally heal from what I was going through, but also physically heal from breast cancer as well. And as I could during that season of sabbatical, it was healing for me to write. And so I would write when I could, and then the book kind of emerged from that season.
Wow, has a wonderful sister in Christ, you have endured a whole bunch of stuff. I remember seeing the article in, I think it was late last year, when you reconciled with your husband, and the article was titled Miracle, which is amazing, and that God has spared your life physically. And I want to pray for you in just a second before we let you go for God's continued blessing on your life and your marriage. You've had such a powerful impact in the lives of so many people, but just want to give you one chance here, just hand you the microphone and say the floor is yours. What do you say to those who are listening who are in the midst of some unexpected thing, you know, finding out that a spouse is addicted to pornography or doing drugs, or a child has decided to leave the family and, you know, the ultimate prodigal or something, some unexpected things occurred. What kind of word of encouragement do you want to leave for those who are in that place where you've been?
I would say, first of all, I'm so sorry for what you're walking through. And I want to fully acknowledge that no matter what your circumstances are, when unexpected events hit your life and it makes you sink in your soul and makes your tears fall from your face, your pain is real. Your pain is devastating, and I understand that. I really, really do. But I also want you to know that even though you don't have answers of why this is happening to you, that God cares. And oftentimes, God doesn't want to be explained away. He wants to be invited in. So invite him into the pain that you're experiencing. Verbalize that you need him and ask him to give you glimpses of hope in the midst of your journey to help you hang on, and he will be faithful to do that. I also want to say that God taught me a powerful lesson that he loves us too much to answer our prayers at any other time than the right time and in any other way than the right way. And so hang on. God is not being distant. He's not being silent. He's not being aloof. He is right there with you. So hold on tight. Keep doing what you know will lead you closer to God, and that is keep reading your Bible, keep praying, keep standing beside people who have strong faith and who will speak truth and life into you. And I promise there will be joy on the other side of your mourning. There will be. I've seen it, I've experienced it, and I declare it over your life today.
Amen. That's such a blessing. And we'll continue with your phone calls in a moment. But Lord, I just lift up my sister Lisa here, and we collectively in the U.S. and Canada, everyone listening, want to thank you for sparing her life and her marriage. Lord, we pray for physical healing, continued healing in her body with regard to the cancer that she endured. And Lord, the trauma of what occurred in her marriage, I thank you, God, not only for the forgiveness that you've provided and are continuing to provide, but Lord, also for the redemption and the restoration of that marriage and how you plan to use it in the days going forward. You've spoken a word into Lisa and Art's life that they will be involved in ministering to others and encouraging others along the way, and I look forward to that day. Lord, none of us would have ever chosen what she had to go through, and none of us would have wanted to see her go through that with her husband, and yet, God, life is filled with pain and disappointment and unexpected tragedies, and yet you're there in the midst of it. So continue to bless Lisa and her marriage and her ministry. Lord, I thank you for the raw and honest truth that she's told, and I sense, Lord Jesus, that you're in the midst of this conversation because you are the truth. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Lisa has spoken honestly and even painfully about the reality of things that she's endured, and yet hopefully as well, offering hope to those who are in similar circumstances. Thank you that your hope is available to all of us and that you have a better tomorrow in store for each one of us if we'll draw near to you. So Lord, rather than allowing the enemy to pull people away, I pray by your Holy Spirit today that we would be drawn ever closer to you and know that our hope and our comfort is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for Proverbs 31 Ministries and Lisa Turkhurst and her husband Art. Use them for your glory and continue to build your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. Lisa, thank you so much. You are welcome here anytime, and we're just grateful that you poured your heart out today the way that you did. Bless you, and we'll pray for even better things in the days ahead.
Thank you so much. Well, again, it was such an honor to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity, and you know, I pray that our conversation will really reach people right where they're at. I think it will, and just thank you for having me today.
Well, based on the text messages and emails I've been getting during the phone during our conversation, I think you can be assured that it will. Thank you again. We'll be back to take some more of your phone calls here in just a moment. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Now all you need to do is say, I want in, give me a copy of her book, and we'll put your name in a hat. But if you want to be a recipient of her book, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way, give us a call right now. We'll look forward to hearing from you. 800-684-2848 or
883-5000. Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number 9 on how to become an actual NBL participant. Start your weekends with Neil and the Zach Man on Fun Friday. Or Thursday if you wish, because Thursday is the new Friday. Or Friday is the new, never mind.
Hey, you know, since today's Thursday, let me just say welcome to the weekend. Good that it's finally here. Tomorrow is Good Friday. We can do a little different kind of a show tomorrow. Definitely want you to be a part of that with us, and we can rejoice together for what Christ accomplished at Calvary, which, by the way, made forgiveness and redemption and restoration possible. And I would love to get some feedback. You've been listening to the conversation here with Lisa Turkhurst about her book, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. If you have a comment or a question or something you just want to say, something you want to express about what you were listening to, now is the perfect time to do it. So it's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And I want to mention Linda Penn was kind enough to let us know that Linda Penn, by the way, is the host of Today's Living Hope, heard Saturdays from 1 to 3 here on WDCX. She's actually going to be conducting a Bible study based on this book. And it starts this Tuesday, April 23rd, at Bender's Christian Supplies in Williamsville, 8550 Sheridan Drive, 9:30 to 11:30, Tuesday morning. And it's $25 cost, but it includes the book. So you get the book, and then you can be a part of that Bible study. Go to todayslivinghope.com to register, todayslivinghope.com. If you're in the Buffalo area and you know where Bender's is, Tuesday morning, 9:30. Ladies, Today's Living Hope with Linda Penn is doing a Bible study on this book. It's not supposed to be this way. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000 is where you can reach us. We got a little bit of catching up to do because we got behind on breaks. I just didn't want to get in Lisa's way. She was on a roll there. Lynn, thank you for joining us. You had a comment to make. How are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Very good. And you've been listening, so obviously something's stirring in your heart. What's up?
Yeah, very big time. I'm driving and I have to park. I have a different message than those poor women who were cheated on. I feel the need to apologize to all these women that were cheated on. I was one of these women that did these things to their husbands and was the cause of breaking marriages and make these poor women cry in deep sorrow. And I just want to apologize. I know they desperately need that support. And the best time for me to consider this is a time of Easter where Jesus is on his last few moments, and he says to God, his Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And so I'm French. I have a bit of a French accent there. Mm-hmm. And God forgave me, and he told me, like, you didn't know them. You needed me. And he rescued me from that life 26 years ago. I've been married for 26, and we have a very healthy marriage. Not perfect. With my luggage, you can appreciate how things are a little harder in that department. But I really want to give the gift of apologizing to these women that are hurting so deep.
You know,
so that's my message.
So sweet of you to take the time to say those things, Lynn. And I think you're well aware that God's grace has been poured out for you and for all of us who have mm-hmm. sinned. And and so you're a recipient of God's grace. So in that sense, there's no need to apologize, but the kindness of taking the time to say, you know, what happened was wrong. And, you know, somebody raised the question, Lisa, did you have to go through the pain of thinking that maybe this was your fault or something? There's probably a million reasons why people have affairs or are unfaithful to a spouse or why any kind of painful circumstance can come into our lives. We'll probably never get to the end of understanding or, you know, or the bottom of understanding how all that transpires and why that kind of suffering has to exist in this world. But it does. And that you took the time to say something, I think, is very kind and very sweet. But know full well that, like the woman caught in adultery, Jesus said, go and sin no more. But he he said, you know, if your accusers don't condemn you, neither do I. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, Lynn, walk in freedom and, you know, celebrate with us tomorrow that Jesus accomplished what was necessary for us to be forgiven and redeemed and restored. All of that was accomplished at Calvary. So 26 years of walking faithfully with the Lord and with your husband. And I pray for another 26 for you, my sister. God bless you. And hang on, if Zach, man, I don't think he had time to grab your number earlier. If you want to get your name in a hat for a copy of the book, we'll be glad to do that. We'll be back in a moment with Della from Amherst, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. You were listening to the conversation with Lisa Turkhurst. If you'd like a copy of the book, tell us why, and maybe you have a story to tell about some of this. Feel free to join us with any observation you've got.
Neil Boron Live, 2 to 6, weekdays, right here on WDCX.
Stranger in the night, praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Remember those days of not knowing Jesus when we're kind of wallowing in darkness and despair, and then we came to know him and everything changed? And it's not like life was perfect from that point on, because it's still filled with difficulty and pain and sorrow. We just heard that from Lisa Turkhurst, author of It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. But man, Jesus makes all the difference. And we could take phone calls till, you know, next Wednesday afternoon, solid, of people one after another, you calling to tell the story of the difference Jesus has made in your life. So if you're listening to all this, wondering if it's worth following Jesus, the answer is a resounding yes. And some of you may want to answer that question for some of our listeners who are wondering, look, if this kind of pain and sorrow can happen in the life of a believer, why would I want to be one? And is it true that God can see through these horrendous experiences of our lives? You know, it's not just infidelity. It's other stuff. It's stuff that's, you know, come our way. She had a medical situation, you know, double mastectomy because of breast cancer. It could be a child that passes away unexpectedly. Some incredible trauma that comes our way out of the blue. And can we even trust that there's a loving God, number one? Or secondly, that he's with us in the midst of it when it doesn't seem like he's answering our prayers? Because trust me, there are people listening right now who wonder if God even exists because they've been praying about a particular thing and their answer doesn't seem to be coming, or it never seems to get answered the way they want. Lisa even expressed some of that. You know, you got a story to tell about that, or a question to raise, or a comment to make, and you're free to join us here at 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Della, you are next. How are you, Della?
How are you, Della?
Hi. I've been better.
You've been better. Okay.
I do want to say, because of what you just said, I would not have wanted to go through anything in my life without Jesus.
No.
If it wasn't for him... I absolutely believe I wouldn't even be here.
Okay.
He has totally met me at every need and every joy. I was listening to Lisa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was sitting in my car because I was told by a counselor that my husband and I cannot get back together yet. We've been separated for 2.5 years. And I was just, to be honest, falling apart, talking to God, hoping I could understand that. When she said, don't go forward till God says so, don't. It just healed me in that moment. I cannot believe that at the very time, well, yeah, I can believe, because that's what Jesus does. He meets you at your need. And he did. And it just made me feel such peace now.
Wow.
That I can wait and that I trust Jesus to take care of me.
So you're saying that you're literally sitting in your car listening to this.
Yes, yes. And they just yesterday told me, you cannot, Della, go back yet with your husband. You have to wait, and it's already been 2.5 years.
Wow.
We've been counseling. We've been doing all that you're supposed to do, going to church together, still being together. And she said yesterday, not yet. Two people, the counselor
and my pastors.
Not yet.
Not yet. Wow. And so there I am, and your show is on today like a lifeline, like a lifeline. And you always say the right thing. I don't know how you do it, but you do it. I'm like, why is he asking her this? And there it was. There it was.
Well, because I didn't know what I was going to say next. That was God meeting your need, Della. He was speaking to you. That was the Lord's inner. I couldn't possibly know what you were going through at that moment. I didn't ask anything except what I felt prompted to by the Holy Spirit. And I sometimes botch that up tremendously. But in this particular moment, God was meeting your need in a powerful way. Wow. Well,
thank you.
You are welcome. Lord, I pray for my sister Della here, who has seen a glimpse of just how in tune you are with her situation, because with what she's been told and the pain and the struggle that she's already been through and the idea that this may continue to go on for a time, probably was feeling a sense of hopelessness and desperation, whatever word you'd put on it. But you were speaking, God, and I thank you that you're alive and well and in the middle of all of this mess we call life, that you love us that much, that you care about the details. So we pray for the total, complete restoration of Della's marriage in your proper time, knowing that we can trust you with that detail. You can work it out for your glory and do so. We pray to build your kingdom and to build the faith of Della and her husband and their marriage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you, Neil.
You are welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Have a wonderful Good Friday and Easter celebration. We'll be back with more of NBL. If you want to get in, we'll get to you in just a second. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. I want to be
changed till all of me is gone. NBL on WDCX, your lifeline to what's real and what matters.
Well, thanks again to Della and all of you who've joined us thus far. If you want to jump on board, we've got a few minutes left for your phone calls. It's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And we are putting your names in a hat for a chance to win a copy of Lisa Turker's book, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. All right, Pat, thanks for your patience. I don't know if you had a comment or a question, but welcome to NBL. How are you?
Good, thank you. Yourself?
Very good. Yeah, you had something to say, so what's up?
Yeah, no, I was listening to, talking to the call screener, and I was listening to bits and pieces of Lisa Turkstra's testimony. It was very good. And just as, you know, it gets you thinking. That's what I like about things like that. It gets you thinking about how different things apply to your own life, how the word applies to your own life. And it just, I'm at the age now, I'm 58, and I'm at the age now where I've come to realize just a couple years ago that it's not that it's difficult to do anything in our life without Jesus. It really is impossible to do anything in our life without Jesus.
Why do you say that?
For me, going through the course of the day, I used to really, really stress out. You know, while I'd be at work, I became a single income household. My wife became a stay-at-home mom when we had our first child, and so all the responsibility financially fell on my shoulders. And there were days, dude, I used to just absolutely freak out, just panicking. Am I going to make it? Am I going to be able to take care of it? I'd go home, I'd see their little faces at the end of the day, and I'd think, oh, what a heavy responsibility, and how am I ever going to make all this happen? How am I going to consistently make it happen? And I went through years with that kind of angst. And just different events that took place in my life brought me closer to God. And I just came to realize one day, it's like, Lord, when you break it all down at the end of the day, it's impossible to go through life without you. And I don't think back often on what my life was like before Jesus saved me.
Mm-hmm.
But because I don't want to. I have no idea how I could have possibly lived one day of those years without his protection. It's amazing to me. So, but that was my comment on her testimony. I completely agree with everything she said, and her situation is much more grave than anything that I've gone through. And God bless her for her faith and God, thank you, God, for bringing her along as he has.
Amen.
But
yeah.
The other thing I wanted to say real quick is it had been a long time since I had listened to DCX. It's probably, I don't know, 15 years or so. Just with the way my work schedule was, I wasn't able to tune in and listen to it during the day. And I like different talk radio formats and things like that. They're just very interesting. I like to hear what other people think and say and feel. But I wanted to extend a nice word of encouragement to you. I don't know if anything has changed in your life over the years, but I remember listening to you years ago and always have never doubted for a minute that you're a brother in Christ, but you were really, really, really intense 15 years ago. Great programs. You did a great job, but you were very intense. And I tuned in probably about a week ago for the first time. And I listen. I do a lot of conversations over the phone, and I listen to people's intonation, you know, for background noise. Am mm-hmm. I being a distraction, or am I being an intrusion to their day? So I listen to the tone of voice a lot. Your voice has softened over the years. It really has. I mean, you're a real blessing to listen to in the afternoon. You really are. And it just, I can hear the sincerity. I can hear it in your laughter. And I never used to be able to hear that in your voice before. And it's just really, really nice. It's such a work of God in your life. It really is. And I just wanted to pass that on to you.
Man, that is one of the coolest and most blessed compliments I think I've ever received in my life. And it's nothing that I brought about myself. It's only the grace of God at work in my life. And coming to a real personal understanding, deep understanding of what unconditional love looks like, because I can tell you this much has changed. Pat, there was a time in my life where I thought I had to earn God's favor. And you know, it wasn't something I talked about publicly per se, but you know, the driving voice in the back of my mind was, you got to do better, you got to try harder so God will accept you and love you. And I worked really hard to be the best Christian I could be, but I kept falling flat on my face because deep down I didn't believe that God's unconditional love was for me. And when I really fell flat on my face and needed to know where I stood with God, what I began to experience was his unconditional love through the way that other people loved me and ministered to me during that time in my life. And I think it's coming to an understanding of the fact that I am loved by God in spite of my warts, my flaws, my sin, my failure. All of it has brought about some peace in my life that wasn't there 15 years ago, not in the least bit. And so by God's grace, that's what you're hearing, but nobody's ever said that before. So I didn't know that was true. And I'm just sitting here glowing, thanking God for his grace and mercy in my own life. And it's the story I want to continue to tell others. You know, just the reality that this same grace, this unconditional love is available for you, everyone that's listening, not just you, Pat. Yeah.
Amen. And I got to tell you, that story that you just related, basically, I think we were oarsmen in the same boat, just growing with different oars, because it's been the same thing for me. And like I said, at 58, you know, just within the last few years, it finally settled in. And yeah, you worded it right. That sums up what I'm hearing. It's the peace of Jesus Christ in your voice. It's the peace of Jesus Christ in your soul. It really is. And it comes through. It really does. And I pray that God allows us to hear that out of your voice for many, many years to come.
Amen. Well, I receive that till the day I stand before Jesus, because I can't imagine life any other way. Pat, I don't know that we've ever met. I know others named Pat. I'm not sure if I know you personally, but because I'm not recognizing the sound of your voice. But someday we ought to do coffee, because I'm 58 as well, and maybe we can compare notes, and I can meet the oar on the other side of the boat. That's fabulous.
I don't know if the other side of the boat. I was probably a few rows back.
Yeah, right. Sure. No, I don't think so, man. I don't think so.
I'll call you. We'll do coffee.
All right.
Take it easy.
All right. Take care.
Happy Easter.
Take care. Bye-bye. What a great, wow, unbelievable phone call. Pat in Williamsville, thanks for your phone call.